know, where I went to school, the people I went to school, the girlfriends on the couch, they had a baby, she said to me, you know, they're good, she said, it's not a good time. And it was very important to her to talk about the role of this baby. We didn't have to talk about it, it wasn't about sex, it wasn't good. It was really about the role of this baby, because she felt so separated herself from the people she had to school with, and from her family, by her achievement. We only, we met her three times, but it was very helpful in disentangling those issues. I think it's very different to explore with someone the reasons why she may have participated in this. That's not a punitive thing, and I think it's very important when you say, why did you do that? No. In that case, it is punitive in general. But why did you do that? It's a really good reason to be punitive. And I think it's very important to be punitive. Why?
I also think that there's a level of, and young man, there's a level of the concept of a mass that young teenager has that would be diminished by using such, by taking control of one's sexuality. Prince Charming comes along on a white horse and sweeps, whether it's Cinderella or Snow White or whatever Disney character, you know, you want to deal with. How scheming it would be, whereas a teenage boy has a mark of manlyhood or whatever in having the ring of the condom in his wallet, how totally scheming that would be for this girl who just might get swept off her feet. So there's, it's not so much perhaps victimization, perhaps, as this feeling of obviously losing the romance. And I'm embarrassed to say that I have married friends who don't use certain kinds of birth control. I have a friend who's constantly complaining about an IUD, you know, and I'm scared to death of what that thing is doing to her because the romance of the sex with her husband of 20 years would be gone. And I find that there's something about that. You know, that the man who loves the woman doesn't put her health at risk and that whole thing. But I really think it's important for that
stuff. This is just a positive question. I'm not exactly sure who originated excessive teenage pregnancy. To what extent is it possibly that in certain kids, getting pregnant in high school or in high school is a kind of career choice, because you're not going to go to college. There's no job out there for you. I want to show that I'm an adult. This is the rite of passage. I'm pregnant. And I think for the father, too, I'm not mentioning here, you know, he gets to carry a picture of the baby around in his wallet. That gets to be sort of who he is, you know. I saw a food preach the other day, and I was sort of blown away by the fact that one of those guys who had something other one had two babies before he met a junior in college. But it's as if, okay, I can do this now, and I don't have anything else to show what's wrong, except my ability to pregnant somebody to me.
From my own reading of what's going to work out, I think that's a big part of it, that there are the other opportunities out there that are held up as possibilities aren't real possibilities. And as long as those are not real possibilities, it does, you know, it seems this is the way to express oneself, this is the way to make it, this is the way to be an adult. And this is the way to establish one's independence from your parents. And also there's this notion that this is also someone to love you.
Yeah.
And that is, that's right. And there have been a few studies that have suggested that, in fact, one of the best ways of forestalling teenage motherhood is to increase opportunities for young women in terms of schooling and economic opportunities and things of that sort. That, in fact, creates the best disincentive or incentive to postpone in a way.
And I think, just to echo that,
if you, one of the strongest predictors, or the strongest predictor, 3 years postpartum for our young mothers was their pre-pregnancy school performance over and above everything else, how you were doing before you got pregnant, predicting how you were doing 3 years later. At 7 years later, a few more things are creeping in, but this was predominantly a very strong predictor of what was going to happen to you. And we talked to these girls about what they wanted to do in their aspirations. There's a lot of confusion about what women can be. There's a real lack of understanding of patriarchy among these girls. One of them wanted to be an accountant, but that meant the person who organizes the books in an office. One of them wanted to be a physician's assistant, but that was the receptionist in the physician's office. And what we mean by careers are very different. I used to play this game with my daughter about careers and you know, what the various kids in her kindergarten class would grow up to be. I said, to her one day, who would be a receptionist? She says, what's a receptionist? You know, we teach children in our own culture about our careers and about what women can be. And I think what these young women are seeing about what women can be is what their sisters and their mothers are becoming. And we have to admit that in the last, since the 70s, the numbers of women in the workforce has expanded enormously, and for economic reasons, you know, we're not all working for pleasure. And I think that we have to really start to admit that we have to educate young girls into career possibilities in middle school. I mean, career development is not one way you're in high school or you're dropping out of high school. We have to think about career development in middle school for younger people.
Let me, before I'm going to take the chair to Robin, I'm going to ask you a question. And you're in the middle, that sort of follows up on this issue because it occurred to me in listening to Marlene and Bonnie and in listening to people talk about the magazines and the messages. It strikes me that there's a lot missing in our what we present to teenagers in terms of media and so on about not so much is it normal to feel this way about a guy or to feel this way about menstruation and so on, but is it normal to actually not be thinking much about guys when you are a teenager? And this strikes me in the context of, I didn't see in the headlines and so on any discussion of, you know, what if I want to be an accountant? I wonder to what extent that, am I generalizing from this, because I haven't read these magazines in years. Is there much in there that sort of, I mean, because it strikes me that when I was telling her story in the beginning, that I don't really feel like, I don't think it's so odd to have, not until I'm later in life, really being conscious of exactly what my sexuality was. I don't remember in high school really being focused on it. Except I was getting these messages that this is the way it was supposed to be. And I remember coming to some time in my early 20s where I really gave some thought about, well, what is it that I want? And I came along at a time when people around me were sort of opening up to the possibility that maybe I don't want this. But I just wondered if you had
something. So there's a page here, Campus C, it says. Stay tuned, Indiana University. Talks a little bit about Carnegie Mellon, Stanford, University of California, Davis. So, I mean, there's a mention, at least in sense.
I have to say that in 17, we do a lot of stuff on the careers to answer questions in the sex and body column about, you know, girls who say, I don't have a boyfriend, I'm not thinking about boys, I'm thinking about women, or, you know, I'm not thinking about boys, we've addressed that issue. And also, we have a college section, and there's a lot, certainly in writing, we try to get the idea across that, you know, you don't have to be obsessed with boys. The reason that there is so much that you put so much stuff in about boys and guys and, you know, being in a relationship is because that is what the highest, when we send our reader polls and the letters in response to the letters that we receive, that is what they say they want to hear about. And the guy stuff always ranks highest on the reader's poll. And cute guys, you know, pictures of cute guys, YM is competing with us pretty seriously. And the reason that YM is so successful is because they have tons of pictures of cute guys. So
is some of that, though, I mean, if you have a magazine that has that stuff, people can read it, or people who want to read that, I mean, is there a...
Well, I think that you have to look at both sides. I mean, I agree that that's a completely shallow and ridiculous approach. But I think that you have to look at both sides. I mean,
it doesn't start
definitely a response to culture.
What are the magazines
I just want to say, I'm hearing a lot about teenage, you know, sexuality and all that type of stuff. I work in elementary school, and I work in fourth and fifth grades. And right there, I mean, the fourth, fifth graders, 11, 12 years old, you know, already indulging in relationships, meaning it's being part of the norm to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And part of that norm is indulging in kissing. I mean, I found sometimes, I mean, kids in the back hall have, you know, coaching each other on, go ahead, man, put your tongue in her mouth. This is what you have to do. I mean, and these are the things that are going wrong with younger kids, 11 years old, 10, 11 years old, talking about, my mother's not home, I'm going to bring a girl over. What are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I mean, so we really got to start even before that, because in some communities, that's part of the norm where you have to have a girlfriend or you have to have a boyfriend. If not, you're considered, you know, a queer, or you don't know anything about this. This is uncool. So we really have to deal with even starting younger than teenagers, because I see it every day. Young kids, I mean, talking about sex.
You mentioned the fact that one of those magazines is geared to 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds.
Teens. I mean, they're not going to be telling you about puberty.
There's a question over here.
I've recently told my friend that in a major news magazine, they have their ins and outs, and it's in among young people to be a lesbian these days. And, you know, I just want you to know, is that accurate? Where is that coming from? Is that an accurate sexual choice? Or is that...
I think you have to ask somebody younger than me.
You know, is that the news magazine telling us, you know, in which magazine? You know,
I think
the news we were talking about, you know, the ins and outs, and it's into the lesbian, also the
ins and outs.
And
there they are now.
That's true. Old fashioned
expert.
There's a hand right behind
you. Is that an answer? Is that a response to not engaging in heterosexual?
Mars?
Camera.
I hope I can articulate myself well, but I agree with what you're saying. I think the work in an underprivileged area with kids who are fifth grade to eighth grade, and mentoring programs and mentoring.
I guess, again, I have a feeling that there's some value judgments being made, and I don't know whether, and I don't know whether they're being made innocently or I am not a lesbian by choice, and I think that we have to get away from this notion. I don't think that with all the problems associated with being homosexual, and all the, you know, I'm not an alcoholic by choice, and I'm not a lesbian by choice. This is the way I am. And one of the things that I feel a tremendous amount of compassion for are the women who do have these feelings about other women and yet are so shamed by them and will go through years of feeling shame and observing alcohol, drugs, or other ways to act out their feelings because they can't come to terms with a situation that is not their choice. And so I think that we have to be very, very careful when we talk about sex. Homosexuality. Bisexuality is something that I can really speak less about. I think that's a grayer area. But I think when we talk about homosexuality, we have to get really away from this notion of choice because it's being bantered around too much in Washington these days. It makes me very nervous, and it makes a lot of other people very nervous. I know that a couple of years ago there were the articles about Smith College and so on and so forth. There's a lot of acting out and sexual promiscuous behavior going on, and that may very well include bisexual behavior as well. But I just wanted to make that comment very clear.
Well, wouldn't that then that you did the lesbian contribute to what you just said?
How do you mean that? I don't, if you're saying that you know, if you have sex, if a woman has sex with a woman, she somehow struck with lesbian desires. You know, maybe that happens to some people, but I know that for me, my journey began a long time ago. I was not able to act out the feelings associated with that process until I was much, much older. But, you know, it wasn't as if I just slept with a woman and thought, oh, this is great. This is who I am. You know, I knew who I was long before I ever
idea that you see something in the newspaper saying it's the trendy thing, sort of feed in to this concept that, you know, Washington sort of says this is a choice, and now the newspapers are saying it.
Well, let me just, I mean, I think that, again, we have to be very, very careful about this, because realize that there are laws being passed, or that have been passed in many states, that prevent same-sex couples from adopting. Now, also realize that far more children heterosexual relationships with a man's man, so to speak, as the head of the household, that has ever been shown, that have ever been shown to be used in same-sex households. And I think one of the notions that's perpetrated is that if a same-sex household brings up either a boy child or a girl child, that somehow that child is going to be gay because they're exposed to these parents who are gay. And that just hasn't been shown. I mean, forgive me if I get a little bit heated around this subject, but I think it's a subject that does deserve a certain amount of attention, given the repressive administration, or soon-to-be administration, that we have in Washington, because I think there's a real danger of people being hurt as a result of these kinds of ideas.
Thank you.
which is, I find it totally like, kind of hypocritical. When you're younger, like, you're hiding the sex. When you're older, it's like, you know, use your sex to get anything you want, something like that. It just would seem so weird that it within the age group that you can suddenly shift from one to the other. And the other thing is about the careers, you mentioned the community learning. I've read some of the articles, and the things on their careers, they try to be so politically PC, like, they're saying one thing, and then they're trying to make it sound like they're really advocating for both. And when you talk about career, they even talk about how to dress for it, like, the perfect outfit for your woman, and how they wear this color, and it'll just go perfect when you're sitting there. Or, just, it doesn't sound like they're advocating for work, but then they're asking, focusing on how you're going to look. I just think that's really bad. And, and then the other thing, in elementary school, there's a lot of things that are more important. And I find that, like, good choking when I was younger. I was born in January, so I was actually older for my grade. So I was, like, the oldest one in my peers. And someone younger than me had a boyfriend in fourth grade. And they were all talking to me, like, wait, you're a year older. Why don't you have one? Like, what's wrong with you? She has one already. You know, why didn't you think of it? And I, at that time, I was interested in getting my grade. It's not because I was, you know, like, meaning towards girls, I didn't think about it. And for me, I thought I was, like, really weird. Like, I wasn't thinking of guys, so I'm totally abnormal, or, like, how could I not even think about it? Why aren't you interested in makeup? And I just think that there's this whole society pinpointing how you're supposed to be, but you're not, and no one's being interested in that.
Okay, I had two more hands up here. Like, okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say about the article that the being trendy, the lesbian, the bisexual. A couple of things about that. One is that I think there are problems that, yeah, they are presenting it like it's like a choice. And they're presenting it like a choice where part of what I've seen from, you know, media. It's in, or it was recently, it was in to be very liberal, very open-minded, very PC, and, you know, let's go for to show that everybody. Also, there's always
that's actually a good example of what I meant about things change faster in the media than they found it hard to tell their parents. I just think that really that article, you know, I think it's just, you know, just so matter. They need news each week, so, you know, so there's some grain of truth in it, you know, it's not back in a whole cloth. But I think it really has to suggest the amount of pain that there is, torment really, is just around this issue, because we've grown up in a culture which is, which denigrates homosexuality, and we all have parents who grew up in a culture that even more denigrates. So I think it's sort of spilled over what it really is still very painful, individual struggle.
All right, Giselle, and then Vivian, you're still excited. You want to go with her?
Yeah, I could just respond to that. I think, and I'm going to say women turning to women, because I don't want to label anything else, because I'm not sure I need to. But if women are turning to women as teenagers, it's because they do want what a number of people have suggested about women and sexuality or women. It's not necessarily that they want intercourse. It's that they want affection. It's that they want love. It's that they want nurturing. It's that they want a relationship. And they can more often, frankly, get that from another woman, particularly at this age, when there really is quite a big difference in themselves and themselves. They just can't get it more from one another than sometimes they can get it from men. In addition to which, as a therapist myself, and having read the literature, an awful lot of women, whether they're teenage mothers or not, have had very bad birth experiences. Many times those experiences were not, I wouldn't call them rape, because really many times the women, they didn't want it, but they didn't say no. So it really wasn't in that sense rape, but it was really against their will, at least mentally. So the experience wasn't great. And so it does sometimes take a long time to get over that, to develop a sexuality that one can own, that one can get comfortable with, and that one feels good about it. It's just maybe safer. Now, that's a very sort of, you know, media way of dealing with a very serious issue. And it's kind of too bad, because in fact, it may be raising an important point, but they sort of really, really did it a disservice by calling it that.
Hey, I'm just going to ask you to speak a little bit more about the study that you referred to, where you think men were teenage mothers and died. And looking at teenage mothers and then those also in the same community who are also teenagers, and by 28, those children had, I guess, succeeded or gone further up the career ladder than those.
No, I didn't say they gone further up the career ladder. I said they had higher earnings. And I think that's the essential point, is that neither group was going up the career ladder. And it says something about the constraints on upward mobility across communities, that basically, if you said to a teenager, you shouldn't have this child now because it's going to reduce your economic opportunity, you won't be able to go to college or become vice president at this bank, and the teenager looked at you like you were crazy, she would be right to look at you that way, because the fact is that the option of becoming the vice president may not be a real option for her, given the current constraints we have on society, on scholarships, fellowships, and so on along the way. What you're seeing in the study that found that at age 28, the women who had had their children in, and these were looking at older teenagers, these weren't looking at 13 and 12-year-olds, let me just say that. These were looking